Last week we talked about the goodness of God and how imperative it is to see God as good, right? Did anybody have any thoughts from last week? I got some emails and I haven't responded to them yet because I'm hoping maybe this Sunday will actually clear some things up and helpfully continue that thought, all right? So if you've emailed me, just know. And if it doesn't clear it up, email me again and say, that was the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Help me out. Okay? Answer my first question. Any thoughts from last week of God's goodness? Was it hard to buy? Was it hard to understand? Was it hard to own? I know why you guys aren't responding to me, and I know what you're thinking, and yes, these are new pants. Okay? As of yesterday, I had a huge beard and hair and a nice styled do, and I went to a church planner conference this week, and I walked into a room to like 1,000 beards. It was a sea of facial hair. It was disgusting. And I thought, if that's what I look like, it's gone. So I just shaved my face, and my wife gets home. She's like, that's what you look like? If you're going to shave your face, you can't have that haircut, she told me. You look like a scuzzball I used to work with, she said. So I said, well, what do you suggest, dear? We need to shave your head. Okay. So I call this the Uncle Fester, okay? I call this in preparation for Halloween. I from time to time, I shave my beard just to see how many chins I'm up to, and I think I just have one giant one now. It's awesome, okay? So now that that's out of the way, when I was, what was the newest, I should have done some studying on this. The newest dinosaur movie, Jurassic Park. Not the one that just came out, but the one before that. Was that Jurassic World? Yes? I was in Jurassic World with my family for summer vacation when it came out, and we watched it on IMAX. Pretty impressive to see dinosaurs the size of dinosaurs, right? On the big screen. And if you haven't seen it, there's these little hamster balls that they get a ride in this park through that'll keep them safe. But what they don't know is that all hell has broken loose and that T-Rex is out. Or this Abdominus Rex or whatever they called it. Nerds, correct me. Jake, help me out, buddy. And Dominus Rex, which is like this chameleon, it can disappear. It's bigger, badder than any dinosaur you've ever seen. Anyway, these little hamster balls. These people are riding in these hamster balls, and I have Zero, my youngest, sitting next to me. And all of a sudden, Indominus Rex shows up. And he is wanting food out of these little hamster balls that are filled with people. Okay? So this older brother and the younger brother are trying to get away from this scene, and Indominus Rex is winning, and he just starts crunching down on this ball and just starts eating and trying to get through to get the yummy caramel center, okay, of these children. Well, all of a sudden, my youngest just clams up and turns his head, and he can't watch anymore. And I just reach down, and I grab his hand. And his whole attitude changes. He looks up at the screen. He's okay. And I didn't have the heart to tell him that, son, if this was real, we'd be dead. Okay? That dinosaur will win. Dad cannot protect you from the dinosaur. When he was young, that he always would jump from heights. It was the weirdest thing. He doesn't understand the word safety. He would climb up. He was always active. He got out of his crib before he could walk. We put him down in his crib and for a nap, and we came in, and he's playing around on the middle of the floor. That is impossible. I don't know what happened. But ever since he was young, he could walk. And he would jump from the back of the couch onto the floor. If you were laying on the floor, he would try to land on you. And he didn't care whether he hurt himself or me. But he was just bold and brave and knew that Dad would catch him. When kids are little, you do stupid things with them, like you put them up on the freezer of your refrigerator, right? It's like 6 feet off the ground when they can barely stand. Maybe you guys don't do this, but I do this. But that's why I only have two, okay? When they're little, I would put them up, and my oldest, I remember him just freaking out and gridlocking like he could not jump. And I'm standing right here. Arms are right here. I'm not, like, backing away. And he just would not do it. But Zero, he thought it was fun. And he would jump and be okay. I didn't silence my phone, and somebody's texting me? For real? Come on. Because he had trust in that I would catch him. You know, I had things like that with my own father. We went to Elitch Gardens before it was where it's at in Denver, the old Elitch Gardens. And I remember there was this ride, I think it was called the Rainbow Ride. And it was this platform that you sat on, and I think it had like these women fanning. But I think it was like some Egyptian ride. They called it the Rainbow Ride for some reason. And this platform would raise up, and it would spin. The platform would stay straight, but the whole thing would just kind of turn like this. And I was terrified of that ride. I thought, we will die if we ride that. And my own dad, he was very, he would never intentionally put me in harm's way. And I knew that. And he said, son, I tell you what, I want you to ride this ride with me because I think you'll love it. And if you don't love it, I'll give you $5. And back in 1987, dude, you could buy a Ninja Turtle and then some gum even, right? So I went and I said, you got a deal. I'm going to tell him I hate it. And I get off this ride, and it was the funnest thing. And in all of that, I lost myself because I told him, he's like, well, how did you like it? And I said, I loved it. Now give me my $5. He said, that wasn't the deal. But I had trust in my dad that this thing wouldn't go off the rails, that this thing wasn't as scary as it appeared to be, just like my youngest son had trust in myself. And I know that I know that some of you don't share the good dad story, the trustworthy parent story, right? Some of your dads would put you in harm's way, personally. And I know that that's a disconnect sometimes, and it's confusing to hear about a father who's good. Let me go silence my phone. This is ridiculous. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Amanda Parsons, for real? Casey Stettler, he actually gets a pass because he lives in Seattle now. Okay. I don't even know where I'm at. It's imperative that we see God as good and God as trustworthy, and I know there's a lot of baggage that can get in the way of that, but it's so essential that we understand that God is trustworthy. And again, we got to go back to the God that Jesus revealed. Do you remember this? What we talked about last week, it's so important. The God that Jesus reveals would never do anything to harm us. He has no malice or evil intentions. He's completely good. And the fact that God is also all-knowing and all-powerful makes his goodness even better. I can trust God even if things look bleak, right? Even when I'm standing on a freezer. Even when I'm thinking about going and riding this ride. Even when, you name it, okay? It'll get deeper than that. Even we can trust him even though it looks bleak. It does not matter that God is all-powerful or all-knowing if he is not all-good, right? What's the point? If he's not all good, he's a dangerous being. And we'll never be able to love or trust him. This trust piece is heavy. I asked Caleb on the way over here, he said, you got your teaching done? And he was at the same conference I was, which means we got home late Friday afternoon, and we had Friday and Saturday to prep. Excuse me, what? Shut up. Do you want to teach? We got home late Thursday afternoon, which meant we had
Friday and Saturday
to do any kind of work, and I intentionally left my laptop here at the office because I didn't want to be out of the moment when I was there because there was important things being said and important things to do there. And so I left. I said, I can figure this out in a couple days. So I asked Caleb, I said, well, what would you do? And what was your answer, Caleb?
I would talk about the time when God asked me to do
He would talk about the times when God has asked him to do something that looked insane. But what was the last part? But glorified himself through it. See, when you come to church, you often get a snapshot of what Jesus is and who Jesus is. And sometimes you can leave with the hope or no hope of saying, well, I'll never be like that person, or I'll never be able to achieve any kind of discipleship that looks anything close to that. And what you need to understand about everybody that's taught on this stage is there has been incremental growth. And then we've arrived. For those of you that didn't laugh, that was a joke, okay? That's not true. We continue to grow incrementally. We continue to figure out this trust piece. We continue to figure out this goodness piece. And it's difficult in life because of all the different things that happen to us. Right? It makes it hard for us to trust. All of us have to face pain and difficulty and sometimes even tragedy. I would almost say that all of us face those things. At some point in our world, we will face all of those. And as we draw close to the God that Jesus knows, we find a new kind of strength to deal with our struggles. That's how this happens. For me, it started small. And it's been since the time I was 11, and if you guys remember anything about my story, I was baptized because I knew Jesus to be real at the age of 11. And I asked to be baptized because that's what Scripture taught. And then at 11 years old, I really didn't do anything with my faith. There were small increments, okay? There wasn't this real monument standing thing where I'm like, oh man, I'm just on fire for Jesus like some of you get when you accept Jesus. And you start reading Scripture. I didn't read Scripture. Scripture was read to me. How many of you is that today? Scripture was read to me on a Sunday morning. Scripture was read to me at youth group. Things were told to me that were in the Bible, and I adopted those as truths. And you know what? Not everything that was told to me about the Bible was true. Some things were distorted. Some things were over-magnified, and some things were focused on too heavily, and things didn't make sense. When I started reading it for myself, like, well, I don't know if that's the case. But along this story, things happened, and I watched God in increments. It was almost like he wasn't testing me per se, but he was just giving me little things. Hey, you know what? I need you to go have a conversation with this person about me. God, I'm a complete jackass, and I don't know anything about you. I know. You don't think I know that? I know that. But I still need you to go give a kind word to this person. Or I'd hear of a need, and all of a sudden this giving thing that we just did that seems confusing sometimes when you're here on a Sunday morning and we pass these bags to you, God would say, hey, I need you to come up to the plate for this one. There's a need. We need you to get involved. And I remember one of the first times that happened, it was actually into my marriage. And I remember giving money so my buddy Ed Sayer, who has always been in a wheelchair all of his life, his wheelchair ran out of batteries. And batteries for a wheelchair are pretty costly. And I remember at Christmas time, I would always lavish gifts upon my wife, which is really funny because she's not a gifts person at all. I told her she was, right? Missed that love language lesson. So I'd buy her anything and everything, and so I would spend hundreds of dollars, $300 to $800 to $1,000, whatever. It didn't really matter. And I remember asking her, what do you want for Christmas? And she would know that I would just get her whatever it is that her heart desired. And we're sitting in service, and she said, I know what I want for Christmas. I want to buy those wheelchair batteries. And I remember like, that's the dumbest gift in the world. Don't you want something cool you can have at the house? Don't you want like a, you know, I don't know, what are you like? Where are you? You're here. You're over there somewhere. Wouldn't you rather have some, you know, some sweet Spanx or something? The stupid crap that runs through my mind. All right. And I remember, like, really questioning that and being like, okay, sounds noble, I guess. And so we cut a check to the church, because that's what you do. You want the tax kick, right? Donating to a 501c3. And I remember it was kind of an awkward situation, and I remember the associate pastor coming out and grabbing me and saying, what are you doing? Which is interesting, because he wouldn't have grabbed a wealthy person that did that. He wouldn't have grabbed somebody that he knew had an abundance of money, but because we were young and because he knew we probably didn't have a whole lot, that was extravagant in his mind. And what that did for me was it kind of gave me that back patting mentality a little bit. You felt good about it. And God continues to kind of move you down that road with these little things. It doesn't make sense, right? These things that just look completely crazy in your world. You need to do this. Well, I don't understand why I need to do this. You need to be baptized. I don't understand why I need to be dunked in front of a group of people. Right? Seems kind of stupid. Like a dumb practice. Anybody thought that? Cassidy's smiling. Yes, you have. She talked many times and said, I thought about calling you while I was in the shower and just saying, can you just say some words? I don't want to get dunked in front of people. That's dumb. I don't want to give my money here. I don't want to go serve underprivileged people. I remember going to the soup kitchen in youth group. And I remember saying, this is me doing my civic duty as a good Jesus boy. And I served those people. Have you thought that? I served those people, the ones that I saw around town that talked to themselves sometimes, that would come into grocery stores and just be belligerent, that smelled. And God continued to put these little things in my path and just said, you know what, you need to be faithful to these no matter how stupid or foolish or time-consuming or uncomfortable they may make you. You need to be faithful to these things. And what I didn't know is that he was building up trust between he and I. What he was doing is every time I would say yes to these things, he would say, now watch me do my thing, watch me work. Every time I said yes to the littlest thing that God would ask, I would watch him prove himself over and over, and I would watch my heart change little by little, and I continue to watch my heart change little by little. But what can happen is we can take this devastated life that we've lived, right? This life that is wrecked by things that happen to us. And if you remember from last week, those things are not caused by God. God is after your good. God is not punishing you for a bad choice. God is all good. But we let these things wreck us. Maybe some of us were hurt by divorce. Makes it difficult to put our trust in God. We've suffered loss of family members, real close ones. You saw the picture of my Uncle Tim, a man who loved Jesus, who had a lot to offer this world, and he was just taken out by cancer. I had a cousin who died at the age of 18. He had had 3 heart and lung transplants. Wrap your mind around that. Most people have a hard time getting one. He had 3. And everybody thought he was good, and he had a heart attack, and he died at the age of 18. Real close to me. We hung out a lot. That doesn't make sense. Maybe we're unable to find a life partner, a mate to be married to, and we are just forever doomed to be single. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you, this wrecks your world and wrecks your view of God. I have a good friend who that constantly is the cycle. And he has a hard time seeing God because God has not blessed him with a mate. Some of us have experienced the death of a loved one like we talked about, or the death of a dream. Anybody had that? This is who I'm going to be. And then you end up being somewhere down here, at least in your mind. Death of a dream. The loss of a business. Or the loss of some physical capacity. You are not the person you used to be health-wise. These things make it hard to look at God and see him as trustworthy, right? These things make it difficult for us to see past and through that. Now, we have to, again, go back to the God that Jesus knows. There's this beautiful picture of Jesus praying in the garden. And it's not a pretty prayer. It is a prayer of desperation. It is a prayer of anguish. It is a prayer of asking God to remove hurt of something that's about to happen in his world. And Jesus asked, would you remove this thing from me? Would you take this thing from me? I don't want to do this. And that thing was to go be put to death for us, to be a sacrifice for us. And he says this simple phrase, take this cup from me, but if not, your will be done. Your will be done. That was one of the questions I got. If it's God's will, if he's good, is he good but vengeful? Why do we say it's God's will when something bad happens to people, right? Why do we say it's God's will when something bad happens to us? Or someone loses someone, or must be God's will. Why do we go to the hospital and pray over the child? I've done this. I've prayed over a little infant that had cancer and is hooked up to tubes. And I didn't know how to pray, so I said, God, your will be done here. It's almost like a sheepish thing, isn't it? Like, it feels a little weird to pray that. Well, if it dies, it's God's will. If it survives, it's God's will. But these things get in the way. And Jesus prays, if it's your will to remove this cup, please take this cup from me. I can't bear it. I don't want to bear it, but I will. And you never see God remove this thing. You never see God remove the call on Jesus to do what he has to do. And for that I say, thank you, God. Because if Jesus would not have went to the cross, if Jesus would not have been crucified as everything had been prophesied, we would be doomed. We would be a lost people. We would be a people forever in conflict with God. So does that void this trustworthy nature of who God is? Because he would call someone to do something really, really crazy. To glorify himself. Or did Jesus have the relationship with God? I'm going to say yes. I'm going to answer yes to this question before I even give you the question. Or did Jesus have a relationship much like my son had with me? I say had, he doesn't trust me at all anymore. Much like my son has with me. Where he's willing to jump off the back of the couch and know that dad's not going to let him fall and hurt himself. that he can jump off the top of the freezer and I would be there to catch him. Or that if a dinosaur is going to come, all I got to do is just put my hand on him and calm him. And he knows that things are going to be all right because I would never intentionally put him in harm's way. I would never intentionally do anything for his destruction or to bring pain into his world. I think the answer is yes. Jesus knew that. Jesus kept going back to those things that Caleb talked about. You guys share these stories. You want to hear amazing stories? Talk to Caleb and Emily. Have you guys seen Hudson running around with a cane? Maybe some of you were hit by him earlier today. Ask them about their son Hudson. And ask about the amazing trust that Caleb can't even probably quantify still as he was driving to the Denver Children's Hospital, knowing that things were going to be okay. Because of these incremental things that God has done in their worlds to bring them to that point where they trusted God and see him as trustworthy. So, church, you might not understand it in the moment. You might not understand it as these little things are happening in your world, as you see these tiny God movements, or you hear these whispers from God of, hey, you know what, I need you to do this. God, that doesn't make sense. Hey, look, I'm building trust with you. Jesus had an encounter, and it was a very tense moment with an entire horde of people who grabbed this woman from her bedroom who was in the middle of infidelity with a man who was not her husband. And they drag her out of her bedroom and they drag her in front of Jesus and throw her to the ground. She probably has disheveled bedhead sex hair because it was just in the moment. And they wanted Jesus to condemn this woman. They wanted Jesus to look at this woman and condemn her. This is the tense moment that Jesus was in with this group of people, with this horde. And that story is not the point. The point is they're asking him questions. These people who claim to be his disciples, these people who are just onlookers of this situation. And Jesus says this beautiful thing. Let me get to it. In John 8, 31 through 32, Jesus turns to this crowd, these people that are angry. And he said, if you stick with this, living out what I tell you, those little whispers, you hear those little things, you are my disciples for sure, then you will experience for yourselves the truth. And the truth will set you free. Jesus is no dummy. Jesus knows that if you're putting these things into action, you're going to see God for who he is and how he is. You're going to see God as good. You're going to see God as someone to be trusted. You're going to be seeing God as someone who can break through the ridiculous in your world, who can free you from addiction. Wrap your mind around that. Who can free you from last night's bender? Who can free you from oppression? Who can free you from oppressing other people daily at your jobs? Who can free you from every evil thought that runs through your mind? God can do these things. Do you believe it? Who can free you from pain? I did an exercise last week where I looked at my world and I was forced to look at my world through the eyes of blessings. And there's a lot of things that I bitch about in my week. And you know what the weird thing? There's a lot of people that I bitch about in my week. Because I'm in the people business. Yes, in case you're wondering, is it me? Probably. And I was instructed to write these things down. I was instructed to write down throughout the day and have a list of over 100 things as I did this exercise of counting blessings. And the crazy thing was is that things that were the biggest pain for me made the list because I was seeing them differently. I was seeing them as God sees them. If you weren't here, if I didn't have people here, I'd be failing at my job. If I didn't have conversations that went somewhere that meant something, that did something on a greater level than just how you doing, I'm okay with you, there'd be no point to what I do. If I didn't have children that frustrated me, I would never know the joy of having children. If I didn't have a sweet, loving wife to tell me my haircut looks ugly with no beard, I'd never know the joys of having a wife. And it was interesting that my mind took all of these things that I gripe about during the week and I said, oh God, you see these completely different. You see children as blessings. You see spouses as blessings. You see this jacked up church as blessings to one another. God, let me see those things. Let me continue to see these things. Let me continue to be in these things. Let me continue to trust you and trust in the way in which you see things is how I need to be seeing things. And it changed my world. We went shopping and we took my son, one of my sons, with us. Holy smokes, I think he has ADHD. It's not a bad thing. He just could not stop talking. He could not stop spinning. He could not stop dancing. He could not stop, Dad, Mom, bah, sing, making noises randomly. I don't know where he gets this. Okay? He's just making stupid noises, and I'm like, oh, stop. But all the while, I'm smiling, pushing a cart. And I was able to see him as God sees him. I was able to keep my anger monkeys at bay. Because I was seeing the world through God's eyes in that moment. And I'm not good at it, okay? It's incremental. But I have these little moments and I see those and I say, okay, this is possible. This life in Jesus is possible. This life in Jesus is not a farce. It's truth. That you can have. That you should have, that we come and we meet week after week and we party together all week long for that purpose, that you might know, that we might know together that God is good and trustworthy and He wants to change our worlds. If that's something you are interested in, take it. Jesus has been waiting for you to take it. As Jesus is looking at an angry horde and mob and saying, you know what? All you got to do is just keep this up. Keep doing these things. You're going to see truth in this. You're going to see that this is a working thing. This isn't a farce. And that truth is going to bring you freedom. So where are you hearing God? Where are you hearing these whispers this morning? What are you doing with these whispers when they come? Do you run from them? Do you look the other way? I get it. God has asked me to do some crazy, crazy things. And every time I look back and I said, oh God, you are good. The things you called me to are good. They're scary as hell. But they're good. Where are those moments for you? Start there. Start small. Watch God build trust in your world with Him. So God, we ask that. I ask for a people that are willing. Give us willing hearts. Give us willing spirits. Give us spirits that can see things that you bring us to. God, that we can hear the things that you're calling us to. God, that you would give us the hands and feet to move in those things. God, I pray for people that have the yeah, but in their mind, and I get it right now. The yeah, but you don't understand. Yeah, but this happened to me. Yeah, but. God, speak through that. Speak through that barrier that we've put in front of you when it comes to stepping out for you. God, I thank you for the little moments that you've given us in our worlds already that show us who you are, that were designed to build trust in us. So that when things come, no matter how big, no matter how small, we can look and say, okay, God, I don't get it, it scares me, I'm terrified, but because you said so, I'm going to do this thing that you've called me to. Because you are good, and you are trustworthy. God, break through the silence. God, we want to recognize that the life we are living at times is very scary. But it's also the great deal of fun. And just as my son and I sat in the theater, and as he was terrified, just that gentle reminder of putting a hand on him reminded him who he was with in that moment. And God, we ask that for you right now. You remind us who we're with right now. God, that we're with you, the God who has chased after us from birth, the God who has chased after us and never given up, the God who wants nothing but to bless, the God who wants nothing but to teach, the God who wants nothing but to give us all the love he possesses. God, maybe we remember who's right beside us in this. If we do these things, if we leave these things out, if you stick with this, doing what I tell you, you are my disciples for sure. And then you will experience for yourself the truth, and the truth will set you free. And everybody said, amen. If you guys have any questions about the trustworthy nature of God, about the goodness of God, if any of this is just what you would consider a lie, I want to talk to you. Not in a spanking kind of a way or a prove you wrong kind of way. I just want to talk with you. Anybody like coffee? I drink that. Anybody like beer? I drink that. I also like whiskeys and scotches. I'm pretty easy to get along with, okay? So that's all I'm trying to say. Let's talk.